Welcome to Building Passive Income, the podcast for professionals, entrepreneurs, and investors who want to build wealth, diversify beyond Wall Street, and create true financial freedom through passive commercial real estate investing. I'm Wayne Courageous III, founding and managing principal of CREI Partners, a leading commercial real estate company. I created CREI Colin, an AI-powered resource to serve as your investor education guide, built on the insights and experience we've developed at CREI Partners. CREI Colin is here to educate you through passive investing and tax strategy topics to help your journey in passive investing. Just a quick disclaimer, this podcast and CREI Colin is for educational purposes only and is not legal, tax, or investment advice. Always consult with your attorney, CPA, and financial advisor before making any investment decisions. I've spent nearly two decades helping investors understand the power of commercial real estate, from multifamily to storage to retail. Each episode is under 15 minutes, simple to follow, and packed with insights to help you grow your income and protect your capital without becoming a landlord. If you're ready to learn quickly and invest smarter, you're in the right place. Welcome to Building Passive Income. Let's build wealth together. Here's CREI Colin.
Welcome to Building Passive Income. I'm CREI Colin, and today I'm breaking down my framework for evaluating commercial real estate markets. This is a framework I've developed over years of analyzing markets, making investments, and yes, making mistakes. Whether you're looking at primary, secondary, or tertiary markets, these six factors will help you make smarter, more informed investment decisions. Now, before we dive in, I want to be clear about something. Market analysis is both an art and a science. You need quantitative data, but you also need qualitative judgment. You need to look at the numbers, but you also need to understand the story behind the numbers. The best investors combine rigorous analysis with intuition developed through experience. All right, let's get into it. Factor number one, population growth and demographics. This is foundational. Real estate demand is ultimately driven by people. More people means more demand for housing, retail, office space, industrial facilities, everything. So first, I look at population growth trends over the past 5 to 10 years. Is the market growing? How fast? Is growth accelerating or decelerating? I pull data from the U.S. Census Bureau, state demographic offices, and private data providers like ESRI. But here's what most people miss. It's not just about growth, it's about WHO is moving to the market. Are you seeing young professionals in their 20s and 30s? That drives demand for apartments, entertainment, restaurants. Are you seeing families with children? That drives demand for single-family rentals, schools, family-oriented retail. Are you seeing retirees? That drives demand for senior housing, healthcare facilities, different types of retail. I also look at age distribution. A market with a median age of 32 is very different from a market with a median age of 45. Younger markets tend to be more dynamic, more entrepreneurial, more open to change. Older markets might be more stable but potentially slower growing. Education levels matter too. Markets with high percentages of college-educated residents tend to have higher incomes, more diverse economies, and more resilience during downturns. I look at the percentage of adults with bachelor's degrees and advanced degrees. Income levels and income growth are critical. What's the median household income? How has it changed over the past 5 years? Rising incomes usually precede rising rents. If you see strong wage growth in a market, that's a leading indicator that rents will follow. I also look at migration patterns. Where are people coming from? If a market is attracting people from high-cost primary markets, those migrants often bring higher incomes and different expectations. That can drive demand for higher quality properties. Factor number two, economic diversity and job growth. This is huge. The strength and diversity of a market's economy determines its resilience and growth potential. First, I look at the major industries in the market. What are the top employment sectors? How concentrated is employment? If the top five employers represent more than 40% of total employment, that's a red flag. You want diversification. If one company or one industry dominates, you're vulnerable to major disruption. I look at job growth trends over the past 5 to 10 years. How many jobs has the market added? What's the annual growth rate? How does it compare to national averages? Markets that consistently outpace national job growth are usually good bets. But again, it's not just about quantity, it's about quality. What types of jobs are being created? high-wage professional jobs in tech, finance, healthcare, or engineering, or lower-wage service jobs. High-wage job growth drives demand for Class A office space, upscale apartments, high-end retail. Lower-wage job growth drives demand for workforce housing and value retail. I also look at unemployment rates and how they've trended over time. Low unemployment is generally good, but if unemployment is extremely low, say under 3%, that can actually create challenges. It might indicate labor shortages, which can drive up operating costs and slow business expansion. Wage growth is another key metric. Are wages rising faster than inflation? Faster than national averages? Strong wage growth indicates a healthy, competitive economy, and it supports rent growth. I pay attention to corporate relocations and expansions. Is the market attracting new companies? Are existing companies expanding? When a major employer announces they're moving headquarters or opening a new facility, that's a strong signal. It means they see opportunity in that market. And I look at entrepreneurship and small business formation. Markets with high rates of new business formation tend to be dynamic and resilient. They're not dependent on a few large employers. They have a culture of innovation and risk-taking. Factor number 3, infrastructure and development. Infrastructure is the foundation that enables economic growth. Without good infrastructure, a market will struggle to attract businesses and residents. First, I look at transportation infrastructure. What's the airport situation? Is there a major airport with multiple carriers and direct flights to major markets? Or is it a small regional airport with limited service? Airport connectivity matters for business attraction and quality of life. Highway access is critical, especially for industrial and retail properties. Is the market well connected to other major markets? Can you easily move goods in and out? Public transportation matters in larger markets. Does the market have a functional public transit system? Is it expanding? Good public transit supports higher density development and reduces traffic congestion. I also look at planned infrastructure projects. Are there new highways being built? Transit expansions? Airport improvements? These are leading indicators of growth. Governments don't invest billions in infrastructure unless they expect growth to justify it. Beyond transportation, I look at utilities and telecommunications. Is there reliable power and water? Is there fiber optic internet? These might seem basic, but they're essential for business operations. I pay attention to commercial development activity. Are new office buildings going up? New retail centers? Industrial parks? Development activity shows that developers and investors have confidence in the market. They're putting capital at risk because they believe demand will be there. I also look at residential development. Are new apartments and homes being built? Where? At what price points? Residential development often follows job growth. Developers build where they see demand. But here's the key. You want to see balanced development. If there's massive construction happening all at once, that can lead to oversupply and falling rents. You want steady, sustainable development that keeps pace with demand. Factor number 4, supply and demand fundamentals. This is where we get into the nitty-gritty of the specific property type you're interested in. For each property type, multifamily, office, retail, industrial, I look at vacancy rates. What's the current vacancy? How does it compare to historical averages? How does it compare to national averages? Low vacancy generally indicates strong demand, but you need context. What's normal for that market? I look at absorption rates. How much new space is being leased each quarter or each year? Strong absorption means demand is healthy. Weak absorption might indicate oversupply or economic weakness. I analyze the construction pipeline. How much new supply is coming online in the next 12 to 24 months? How does that compare to historical absorption? If there's way more supply coming than the market typically absorbs, you could see rising vacancy and falling rents. Rent growth trends are critical. How have rents changed over the past 5 years? Are they growing faster than inflation? Faster than national averages? Strong rent growth indicates healthy demand and limited supply. I also look at concessions. Are landlords offering free rent, tenant improvement allowances, or other concessions to attract tenants? High concessions usually indicate a tenant's market with too much supply. For multifamily specifically, I look at home prices and the rent-to-own ratio. If home prices are high relative to rents, that makes renting more attractive and supports multifamily demand. If homes are cheap relative to rents, people will buy instead of rent. I analyze historical trends over full market cycles. How did this market perform during the last recession? How quickly did it recover? Markets that maintain relatively stable fundamentals through cycles are lower risk. Factor number 5, regulatory and tax environment. This is often overlooked, but it can make or break your investment. First, property taxes. What's the property tax rate? How is property assessed? Are there caps on assessment increases? High property taxes directly impact your NOI and your returns. Some markets have property tax rates of 0.5%. Others are over 2%. That's a huge difference. I look at the broader tax environment: state income taxes, sales taxes, corporate taxes. Low tax states tend to attract businesses and residents from high tax states. We've seen this play out dramatically in recent years, with significant migration to business-friendly states. Rent control and tenant protection laws are critical for multifamily investors. Does the market have rent control? Are there strict eviction protections? These laws can significantly limit your ability to raise rents and remove problem tenants. Zoning and land use regulations matter. Is it easy to develop and redevelop properties, or are there layers of bureaucracy and community opposition? Markets with flexible, business-friendly zoning tend to see more development and adaptation to changing demand. I look at the overall business climate. Is the local government pro-business or anti-business? Do they make it easy to operate, or do they create obstacles? This affects both your operations and your ability to attract quality tenants. Environmental regulations can impact development costs and timelines. Some markets have extensive environmental review requirements that add time and cost to projects. I also consider political stability and predictability. Are there frequent changes in policy that create uncertainty? Or is there a consistent, predictable approach to regulation? Investors prefer predictability. Factor number 6, quality of life and amenities. This might seem soft, but it's actually critical. Quality of life drives where people want to live and work, which drives real estate demand. I look at schools. What's the quality of public schools? Are there good private school options? Families care deeply about schools, and good schools support home values and rental demand. Healthcare is important, especially for older demographics. Are there quality hospitals and medical facilities? Is healthcare a major employer in the market? Entertainment and culture matter. Are there restaurants, bars, music venues, theaters, museums? Young professionals especially value these amenities. Markets with vibrant entertainment scenes attract and retain talent. Outdoor recreation is increasingly important. Are there parks, trails, lakes, mountains? People want access to nature and outdoor activities. This has become even more important in recent years. Climate and weather play a role. Some people prefer warm weather year-round, others like four seasons. Extreme weather, whether heat, cold, or natural disasters, can be a negative. Cost of living relative to incomes matters. If a market has high incomes but also high costs, that's different from high incomes with moderate costs. You want markets where people can afford a good quality of life. I also look at crime rates and safety. High crime depresses property values and makes it harder to attract quality tenants. All of these quality of life factors combine to make a market attractive or unattractive to residents and businesses. Markets with strong quality of life attract talent, which attracts businesses, which drives economic growth, which drives real estate demand. It's all connected. So here's how I use this framework in practice. I score each factor on a scale of 1 to 10 for any market I'm evaluating. Then I weight the factors based on my specific strategy and property type. For multifamily, I might weight demographics and quality of life higher because they directly drive rental demand. For industrial, I might weight infrastructure and business climate higher because they drive logistics and manufacturing activity. This gives me a quantitative score I can use to compare markets. But remember, this is a tool to inform judgment, not replace it. You still need to visit markets, talk to local experts, and develop your own feel for a place. No market is perfect. You're looking for markets that score well overall and align with your investment thesis. A market might have amazing job growth but challenging taxes. You need to decide if that trade-off works for you. And remember, markets change. A market that scores well today might decline in the future. You need to monitor your markets continuously and be ready to adjust your strategy. That's your framework for market evaluation. Use it, adapt it to your needs, refine it based on your experience. Make data-driven decisions, but don't ignore qualitative factors and your own judgment. Keep analyzing, keep learning, and keep building that passive income. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for tuning in to Building Passive Income. Today's episode helped shift your mindset or gave you a new tool to grow your wealth. Do us a favor and like, subscribe, and share this podcast with someone you care about. Want to go deeper? Join our free Passive Investor Coaching Program at PassiveInvestorCoaching.com. It's the perfect next step to start building wealth through commercial real estate the right way. Remember, financial freedom isn't a dream, it's a decision, and it starts with building passive income. We'll see you in the next episode.